This CD is brought to you by Agape Word Center Church International, located in the heart of Beltsville at 6728A Industrial Drive, Beltsville, Maryland, 20705. Agape is pastored by Pastor Kasana Chongo and Lady C. Now, stay tuned for the word. We hope you will be blessed with this recording.
Now this morning, church, I want to share with us on a subject that I have entitled Side by Side with Jesus. Amen? Side by Side with Jesus. I want us to open our Bibles in the book of Luke, chapter 24. We shall read from verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. Verse 17. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened in these days? And he said to them, what things? They say to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they have also seen a vision of angels who said he is alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. Amen. The message today is side by side with Jesus. Side by side is being parallel, being along, being close together. It could be rubbing shoulders. It could be hand in hand, side by side with Jesus. Let me give you a little background of all this. I know you know this story, but I'll give you a quick background. Now, this was a time when Jesus was crucified, died, buried, and resurrected. Now, during this time, there was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of anxiety. There was a lot of disassociation in the whole of Israel. People were going crazy. People were like, we're not going to be part of all this mess. It was total chaos. The King of Kings, he's no more. The Redeemer, he's no more. The disciples were in disarray. They're like, I don't know that man. They were trying to mind their own business. The whole city was like shut down, like it was lifeless because of what had happened. They had never seen such a thing. Yes, people were crucified, but by crucifying Jesus, what happened? They said that the curtain tore down. There was an earthquake. There was darkness. Never in history was there darkness at noon, but there was darkness. So these strange things were going on in the minds of these people. And they're like, wow. They had a lot of questions in their minds. A lot of questions. Now, these two disciples, they chose to walk away from Jerusalem. They couldn't take the torment. They couldn't take the pressure. They're like, whatever this man was telling us was not true. They were confused. So they chose to walk away from Jerusalem. Let's go and probably refreshen ourselves. Let's go into an environment that doesn't talk about all these things. To me, I believe that these people were trying to find a new lifestyle. These two disciples. They were trying to find a way of how they could start a new life, of how they could have some peace. How were they going to live with this? Jesus told them that, hey, listen, I'm going to be the Redeemer of Israel. I'm going to make a change, but now he's no more. Everybody is looking at them. Everybody is looking at them. Amen? So Jesus recognizes that these people are like her. They are going astray. The Bible says that Jesus came and walked with them. Verse 15. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He drew near and went with them. And they were reasoning. Many of us, we reason. We reason with situations. Why did I lose my job? Is it because I was late? Is it because the supervisor doesn't like me? Is it because of blah, blah, blah? We always reason. Now, these people were reasoning with a delicate situation. The Bible doesn't tell us what they were talking. But I'm believing, based on how man is, they were like, you know what? I think this was a hoax. This Jesus thing, Much as he was saying it wasn't real. They were losing faith. They were giving up. Coming up with sorts of excuses to justify their move to where? To Emmaus. Let us leave Jerusalem and go. Why? Because I don't feel I belong to that man anymore. I need to go find something else to do. And today you and me, we reason with situation, with circumstances. When a storm hits you, you're like, huh, this wasn't from God. This wasn't from God. You start finding your own manly ways. Yes, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 1 that come and reason with what? Come and reason with me. That is Jesus telling us, come and reason with me. He doesn't say come and reason with who? With mankind. But reason with me. These two people were reasoning together. And their reasoning wasn't helping them at all. It was taking them to destruction. It was taking them to hell. That's why Jesus shows up and walks side and side with them. Side by side with them. And Jesus drew himself near and went with them. You may ask yourself, when is Jesus going to come draw near to me? Remember, Jesus had resurrected. He had come in the form of the Holy Spirit. He drew himself near to them. Friends, we have the Holy Spirit who draws himself with us. But how many times have we responded to his presence? How many times? The Bible says that when Jesus came to these men, who were one in the morning phase because their master had died, grieving, which is normal. And after grieving, they're like, you know what? I'm giving up hope. They had lost faith and hope. There is no more Jesus. That's the end of it. Probably I need to go and do timber or do another business. That is what they were thinking. But Jesus asked them, what is going on? What are you all talking about? The response that Cleopas responded with was that, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happen there in these days? This is a time of Facebook. It's a time of social media, Twitter, WhatsApp, name it. Fox News, NBC, CNN. Come on. What kind of environment are you in that you missed out on these things? Probably the Steelers are playing the Redskins. Did you hear the score? What? So when somebody says you don't know these things, they look at you like, what part of the world are you? Or there was a recent election in Alabama, whatever happened. You're like, what? People look at you like, are you a stranger? How come you don't keep abreast with things that are happening? Honestly, there are many of us, things happen. We don't even know what's around us. We don't. Either because you don't care or because you're too busy with the things of life. So these people are questioning Jesus. Are you a stranger that you don't know these things that happened? Don't you have a smartphone? Don't you have a laptop in your house? These are some of the things that we ask today. And Jesus responded, what things are you talking about? Already the question he's asking, he already shows that he's bitter, he's upset. Are you a stranger? What kind of person are you? Child of God, there are people that come to us. There are people that come to us and talk to you and ask you a similar question. And you're like, don't you have a church you go to? Where is your God? When they come to you, they need help. Or they are there to help you. They either need help or they are there to do what? To help you. In this situation, Jesus was side with them to help them because they were getting lost. They were taking the wider route that goes to hell for destruction. He shows up at the right time. You know, some of us, when they ask you a question, are you a stranger? We get timid. We back off. But Jesus insisted, what things? I'm a stranger, yes, but what things are you talking about? What things? Explain them to me. Some of us, when they ask us such questions, we just get into a shell. And like, you know what? The story continues another time. I'm busy, I have to go to work. We come up with excuses. We reason. That's what happens in the body of Christ today. I don't feel well. Have you seen a physician? Have you seen a doctor? What did they say? Hey, the Bible says when somebody is sick, do what? Pray for them. But you're asking them, did you see the doctor? Are you taking medication? Come on. You're a child of God. Pray for them. But you want to go into details. They tell you all the details, then you're like, man, your situation is too complicated. I can't help you. I can't help you. But Jesus said, what things? But the Bible also says that when he came with them, he restrained their what? Their eyes. Their eyes were restrained that they could not understand him. Our eyes today, I was thinking about it, Lord, are our eyes restrained or are they open? Because had Jesus asked these things without restraining their eyes, hey, the conversation would have changed. It would have changed there and then. But whatever they were discussing was coming from their what? From their heart. Whatever comes out of your mouth is what you're thinking. It's what is in your heart. Don't be deceived. Whatever comes out, however much, friends, you camouflage it, what comes out of your heart is what is what. What comes out of your mouth is what is in your heart. Is what you're thinking. Is what you're believing. Is what you want to happen for that person. That's why I just had to restrain them. To let them speak in liberty, at liberty. Pour out everything. You were a stranger. They would have asked that, huh? We looked back 10 minutes ago, there was nobody. But here, this person does what? He shows up and joins us. And he's asking us these things. Believe me, Jesus wasn't smelling like they were smelling. He was different. In various encounters, he tells them, don't touch me. Don't even get close to me. After his resurrection, because he was a different person altogether. They could have noticed that, but their eyes were restrained. Why? Because these people lacked something. And he wanted to show them that you people need to go back and do a certain thing in order to understand who I am. Amen? Prior to that, Jesus had made Magdalene, Mary Magdalene, when he's resurrected. The Bible tells us that he first met Mary who? Magdalene. But also her eyes were restrained. You know, these are people who are with Jesus every day on a daily basis. Jesus spoke about his prediction, death and resurrection three times to these people. That Son of Man is going to be mocked. He will die. He will be buried, and on the third day he will do what? He will resurrect. But still these things they did not understand. They didn't even have the audacity to ask, what do you mean? Not like, probably it's just like something else. But when it came to things about wealth, hey, about life, they're like, Jesus, now who of these ones do you think? Who of these ones do you think? Because they were looking at earthly what? Earthly things. And that's how we are today. We want the earthly things. When the most important of them is the spiritual things. Jesus met the disciples for breakfast at the sea. Still, this man had shown up couple times, but they still missed it as we miss it today. And we have no option today, because guess what? All these things happened. We read the scripture and we are believers today because of these things. But we still lack faith. We are still in doubt. We still reason. Pastor, we'll still reason. We are hit left and right and you reason. Man, I think that was my uncle. I think that was my auntie. We blame it on things. But this morning, Jesus is side by side with us. He's side and side with you. Your conversation needs to change. It should be different from reasoning. You should not reason, but just declare his word. You know, these men, the circumstance they were walking in was kind of complex. When somebody is sad, you never find people who are sad walking and talking. When people were sad, they sit down and they talk, they cry, they get their handkerchiefs, they wipe their tears. If there is mud, they rub mud on themselves. If you find somebody walking and they are sad, something is not right. These people could have been a man and a woman, the disciples, that were going to Emmaus. They were in sadness. Jesus is like, hey, all this sadness, this conversation. Then they continue to say that the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and the word before God
and all the people. You know, the thing that really struck me here was that they are saying Jesus of who? Of Nazareth. And they are calling him a prophet. He always told them, I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of God. I'm the Redeemer of Israel. But they still refer to him as a what? You see how we change so fast? These were people who were with Jesus all the time. When he broke the bread and fed the 5,000, they're like, yeah, that's our man. When he performed miracles, the blind could see, like, yes, that's our man. But here they are, he's gone out of the picture. Where is your belief? Now here unbelief comes in. Unbelief comes in at this time. And those are the times that we are walking in today, friends. Those are the times we are walking in. He was mighty indeed. He knew the word. When Jesus spoke the word to them, he's like, you foolish people, didn't you know all these things that were going to happen to the Son of Man? That was going to suffer? Moses spoke about them in Deuteronomy.
Amen. He said, let the little children come unto what? Unto me, right? For their minds are not what? Are not polluted, right? They are innocent. But the more you grow, you become what? You become polluted. You become adamant about certain what? Certain things. You grew up knowing them, but now because you're reasoning, they don't make sense to you. You start your own arguments. You start flowing in your own things, right? But we thank God for children. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, let us continue. Now, Jesus was meant to be the Redeemer of Israel. But here, these people are referring him as a what? As a prophet. Moses spoke about the coming of Jesus in Deuteronomy. Isaiah goes on to confirm the prophecy in chapter 9 and verse 6. That unto us a child is what? A child is born. A son is given. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. All these things were coming. If I was Jesus at that time, I think I would have whipped these guys. Because it's like you have a child at home. You keep telling them the same thing over and over again. But what happens? They keep doing it. You get upset, what do? You spank them. So Jesus was teaching these people. He expected them to be the head, to be the carriers of the message. But here they are running away from the assignment. They are running away from responsibility. 7 miles they are walking away from Jerusalem. They would have been in there encouraging one another, talking to the believers, but here they are like quietly finding the escape, the next exit. Jesus said, no way, I'm catching up with you. He was side and side with them. You know, ignorance is something very bad. They are narrating a story. Then they say, to make matters worse, this is the third day. They went to the tomb. He's not even there. Huh? They went to the tomb. He's not there. Not only that, they say that a vision of angels told them that he's alive. But these people continue to choose to distance themselves from who? From God. That is what happens in the life of a believer today. We are distancing ourselves from God because of things that are not happening as they're supposed to. Jesus did not say these things will not happen to you. These things are going to happen to you.
As a child of God, you're going to receive 100 times more than the earthly one. But it is testing. You're going through a furnace. You're going through the fire to make you harder. To increase your faith. Because whatever your reward is in heaven. And it's going to be everlasting. You live on earth 80 years, that's it. What happens after that? How are you going to live there 1,000 years or the infinity years? Where do you want to lead them? Then somebody passes. They were notorious. But we say, hey, I know they are in the right place. That's not true. Because whatever we do on earth determines your destiny. Determines your destiny after life. So whatever we do is an accountability of where you're going. Are you going to H-E-L-L or H-A-V-E-N? Jesus is the chief shepherd. He says when one of the 100 disappears, he'll go and find it. These ones were on a journey of disappearance. He had to go and find them, bring them back. They were walking away. If you read in verse 27, and I think it is 28, then they drew near to the village where they were going. And he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went to stay with them. Now it came to pass, he sat down at the table with them. He took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave thanks. Then their eyes opened. After doing that ritual, their eyes did what? Opened. And these people who are like, we are going to sleep, what happened? They feared for Jesus made it dark. Come and stay with us. But as soon as that thing happened, these men did not care whether it was dark, did not care whether there were hyenas on the way. They went back to where? To Jerusalem. And they told them, hey, the master is indeed alive. And lo and behold, while they were still in that room, Jesus shows up in their midst. And they're like, indeed, he is alive. He is alive. Now, to you and me today, why were these men walking away from the situation? Why were their eyes constrained that they couldn't see these things? Why are your eyes and my eyes constrained? We tend to understand these things, to know them, but we don't live them. Number one, there is inadequate prayer. Jesus told these people, when he knew the time was coming, the hour was coming, he told them, come pray with me in the garden of Gethsemane. Come and pray with me. When they went to prayer, these people prayed 10, 15 minutes as we do, and they fell asleep. But Jesus tarried in prayer. He went into intercession. And while he was praying, he received more revelation. He got the strength to withstand whatever was coming. It was at that time that Jesus said, yes, it will happen. But he was already asking, could you please take this cup of suffering away from me? But it was through prayer that he was empowered, that he was strengthened, that his soul was uplifted, that I am with you. You need to make this promise, this prophecy come to pass. Had these men been praying, or these disciples, would have been a different story. But you and me, we need to pray. This is a year of divine elevation and doing great exploits. 11 are down. We have 12. The clock is ticking. You look back in your life. You're like, have I walked in divine elevation? Have I done exploits for the kingdom? Look at your prayer life. How is it? Whenever we pray, we talk with who? With God. He talks to us. He reveals himself to us. There are certain things that before I didn't see them. But sometimes I'm like, what? I'm like, Something, you see something, they show you, it reveals something to you and you're like, But then you see it coming to do what? Coming to pass. Then I'm like, wow, this is real. You know? But you need to get to a place where you do what? Your prayer life is intimate with God. Lack of prayer, friends, brings about reasoning. You reason with mankind. Lack of prayer activates reasoning with the devil. Let me make it plain. Because he knows when you pray, you're going to be equipped, you're going to be empowered. Right? Because the Bible says in Isaiah that come and reason with what? He knows that you're full of sin. But when you come and reason with him, you confess your sins, he will open up and talk to you. But the moment we don't pray, we open up an avenue for the devil to come in and take control. You start looking at things in your own mind. And then you go crash. You're like, wow. You stand up. Another knockout. Yes, you could have 1, 2, 3, but don't let it get to 7. They may not be turning back. That may be the end of it. But this morning, activate your prayer life. Amen? The other is lack of knowledge and understanding. These men lacked understanding. They could have had the knowledge, but they lacked the understanding. They are using even the knowledge they know. Hey, this man who was powerful in deed and word, not only to God, but also to the people. They said on the third day, this is the third day, they had the knowledge, but the understanding, zero. I know this is the Advent season. We are getting ready for remembrance of the birth of Christ. But I just felt that this message should be something that we should ponder on. That as you celebrate Christmas, what does it mean to you? Jesus is side by side with us. He's walking with you. But what is your conversation despite the walk with you? What are you thinking? I believe these people were also familiar with Jesus. They knew him so much that now he's gone, end of chapter. We get familiar, so familiar with the things of God. And we don't even reverence him. Familiarity is a disease. You make it a routine to do what? To come to church. Yes, it's good. But after that, during the week, what happens? You're like, he knows me, I went to church, so everything is fine. You're familiarizing yourself with who? With God. He wants to relate with you on a daily basis, on a minute-to-minute basis, on a one-on-one. Yes, it's good for us to come and fellowship here, but he's looking at you. My brother, my sister, when life ends, it's going to be you alone. He doesn't say that agape is going to be judged the same. Everybody's going to be on their own. Amen? So we should not be familiar with who? With Jesus or God. And we should be true believers. Amen? Now, there's something unique about this walk. This was an unusual walk. Unheard of. If you're walking down the street and you've been walking like a couple miles and you haven't seen anybody, then all of a sudden somebody shows up, you're going to think it's a what? It's a ghost. You're going to stop. You're going to ask, who are you? Where are you coming from? Either you're going to slow your pace
or you're going to increase your pace, or you're going to find the next exit and disappear. But Jesus stayed on with them. He engaged them in the conversation. He was talking to them one on one. Now, this is how unusual this walk was. One, it was to rekindle their faith. Because the Bible says, I think in verse 30, that while he was talking about the scriptures, they felt a burning in their what? In their heart. Something was bubbling in their heart. Like, this man is talking about things we've heard before. As they were talking. But it was after the restraint had been taken off that they spoke these things. But inside they were feeling something. They were feeling the presence of God. That's why after all these things happened, they went back to Jerusalem. So this walk was one to rekindle the faith, to restore their hope. We need a walk like that, friends. We need a walk like that. We need to rekindle our faith. We need to have our hope restored during this Christmas season. We need to be strengthened. It was a walk that strengthened the brethren. It's like, do not give up. Whatever I said, whatever the prophecies prophesied, the prophets prophesied, it came to pass. And I am the true living God. He strengthened these brethren. That's why the Bible says in Acts that when they went up in the upper room and they were together praying, what happened? They were filled by the Holy Spirit. And they went out preaching the good news. Friends, that's what we need today. This walk removed fear out of these guys. At that hour of the night, they are walking back to go meet the other believers. That was having a sound of love and a sound mind. But many of us walk in fear today. In a lot of fear. And fear is equivalent to death. But the Bible says in Psalm 23 that even when you are in the valley of the shadow of darkness, what? Of death, fear not, because I will be with you. He says he's going to be with us. But it's we, the children of God, that fear most. If I come to your house one of these days, and I knock at your window, and I hide, and I go to your door and knock, and I hide, and you keep running around. Some of you are going to hide under the bed. I bet you there won't be anybody coming out to confront me. Or you pick up the phone to call what? 911. Because of fear. You find an unbeliever at your workplace. They engage you in this Christmas thing. Hey, how many of us are going to engage them and tell them why Jesus came? Honestly, how many? Amen. Thank God for those. But some of us, it's going to be fear. We have the knowledge, but we lack the understanding. But it's my prayer that the spirit of fear will not take over your life. But you'll be somebody who stands out in confidence to declare what you believe. To help somebody who needs that word. Amen? You know, there was a testimony that came up after this walk. That they went back and testified to the believers that indeed we have seen him, he's risen. What testimony are you going to take out there today? Jesus has been side by side with you. He has been side by side with us. The Bible says in Revelation 12:11 that we overcame the devil by what? By the blood of the Lamb and our what? The word of our testimony.
Whenever you testify, the devil goes 10 inches more, 10 feet more to where he belongs. Because you have trampled over him. Amen? So as we end this season of divine elevation and exploits, it is my prayer that we open and read the Word of God. A couple weeks ago, we learned about conforming unto the Word of God. Powerful word. Read, open and read the Word of God. When you're knowledgeable, then you do what? You receive understanding. Your eyes are open. There won't be any restraint. There won't be any restraint. The thing that is killing us today as believers, as the body of Christ, is understanding. We know what to do, but we don't do it. Because we don't keep ourselves in the Word of God. The Bible says whenever you read the Word of God, you get revelation. Because you're talking to God, you're reading His Word. His Word is alive. His Word is powerful. It's double-edged. Sharper than a double-edged sword. That's the Word of God. It does not go back void. It fulfills its purpose. But the moment you doubt it, the moment you distance yourself from the Word of God, friends, the outcome is not good. The outcome is not good. We need spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. Had these disciples had spiritual understanding, had they grown in the Spirit, they would just had fellowship with Jesus right there and then. Because just imagine, this man has resurrected. Huh? The prophecy has come to pass. Why does he have to come and go back into prophecy that he has to break the bread and then their eyes open? Come on. Come on. That doesn't sound well with me. Neither does it sound well with God. We have seen all these things. We have read about this. We say that we understand them. So we need to make them happen in our lives. If we are to walk in divine elevation. If we are to do exploits for God. Amen? Yes. You may have gone through betrayal. You may have gone through lots of things. But remember, Jesus is side by side with you. Jesus is side and side with us. I challenge you this morning that take a walk with Jesus side by side in these 12 days. Just make it. Just. He walks with us, yes. But in a special way, embrace Him. Ask Him to forgive you where you felt you've been distant from Him, where you felt that He wasn't with you. And then your life will not be the same. Amen? Amen.